Speaking of news, one of the most talked about points in racing over the last few days has been next week's decision to have a week off racing. Greg Carpenter from Racing Victoria joins us now to give us some context behind that decision. Good morning, Greg. You well?
I'm very well indeed, Michael. We've currently got 13, the Bletching League. The Inevitable hasn't accepted us yet, so okay. He's got about 25 minutes if Scotty Brunton's going to put it in. But there has been a lot of discussion around the week off from racing next week. It's been a long journey, and it'd be great to give some context to that decision and the principle behind it.
So when did this first, occur, the decision to have this week off? Because I've been surprised to read some of the participants saying that it snuck up on them. They didn't really know. And was there consultation with trainers, owners beforehand?
Well, it clearly has snuck up on some people, which is surprising. But as you would know, in Victoria, over the last more than 5 years, we've kept the number of race meetings constant around 555. There's always a lot of discussion around the daily grind of racing. We race too often. We're racing more and more. We know the stats tell us that the number of meetings has stayed constant for more than 5 years. What we did 4 years ago was look at the opportunities to people in the industry to have race-free days to try and balance up some of the participant welfare and the working week issues. When for a long time we used to say we race 363 days a year, the only 2 days we have off are Christmas Day and Good Friday. So a little under 5 years ago, we introduced race-free Mondays. That gave us approximately 12 Mondays through January, February and March where there was no racing, and those meetings were moved to Wednesday. Mixed feedback about that initiative, but we still continue on with that. So in the 2021 race dates process, which started at the back end of 2019, we looked at other initiatives that might be introduced to try and provide some balance in the working week. And a couple of the initiatives were no racing on Christmas Eve to give participants 2 consecutive days without racing, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And the other one was a race-free week at the end of the season. So in the race dates process for the 2021 racing season, which started back end of 2019, early 2020, we put those concepts into the draft race dates. Those dates are always consulted with, workshopped with the race clubs, with the ATA, VJA and TROA. So there was that concept put to the industry bodies in January 2020. We met, as we do with the race day consultative process, with those three groups. We explained what we were trying to do with Christmas Eve and the 5 days off at the end of the season. We met with them. We asked them for their feedback, which we got from TROA, the VJA and the ATA. And we put it to our board, and they were approved as concepts for the 2021 race dates. So that was announced March 10, 2020. In fact, we put out a big, bold press release around the concepts of no racing Christmas Eve, 5 days off in July 2021, and also an increase in the number of days without racing the year from 15 to 17. After that, we were caught up with COVID, no doubt. So in November 2020, we re-announced the race dates for the second half of the racing season and again heralded that we would be having no racing on Christmas Eve and also 5 days off in July. As part of next year's race dates process, the season that starts in just under a week or two, we again told everyone that we would be having 5 days off in July, no racing on Christmas Eve, even though we hadn't lived through that concept. It is part of the 21-22 race dates. And there was consultation, as we do every year with the associations, both last year's race dates and next year's, last season's race dates and next season's race dates.
So just to be clear, the Trainers Association and the owners, they gave it the green light to go ahead with this?
Well, in actual fact, consultations are not necessarily getting approval. In fact, the trainers surveyed their members, and from memory, the numbers were about 55-45, not to proceed with the end-of-season trial. But the notation there was that a number of larger metropolitan stables supported it. So to say that the ATA overwhelmingly supported it is not right, but they were always aware, consulted with, they surveyed the members, I think, Andrew will tell you, they got over 300 respondents, roughly 55% just by trainers, not by horse numbers or looking at the big stables, didn't want a week off. But we took that feedback on board. The VJA was supportive of it. TROA had no strong view. And on balance, looking at initiatives for improving the working week, participant welfare, the balance in our racing season, Racing Victoria decided to proceed with the trial.
I suppose, unforeseeable consequences. No one would have hoped we would have been in lockdown next week, which unfortunately, hopefully we're out by Tuesday, but unfortunately there could be ramifications re-turnover, because if people aren't actually allowed to get out and get about what they're doing, last year showed that turnover increased and there's no racing there. Some of the other concerns...
Well,
trainers,
just before we leave that, Michael, it's an interesting concept. Fact around the turnover. It's really important for people to understand we have not lost race meetings. We have not taken race meetings away. As I said, for the last 5 years and more, there's been the same number of race meetings in Victoria each season, roughly 555. In June and July last year, there were 73 race meetings. In June and July this year, there are 73 race meetings. So what turnover are we losing next week? We're not really losing materially any turnover, because those five meetings have been moved into days in June and July. So the meetings haven't been lost. Those five meetings have still generated turnover, which are comparable with what they would have turned over next year. So there is next week. So there has been no material loss in turnover next week, because we've run the same number of race meetings.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just making the point.
Just let me finish, and we'll come back to it, because it's an important point. There has been no less racing opportunities. 73 meetings in June and July last year, 73 meetings this year.
No, I understand that.
No less bonus calls. I'm glad you do, and I know you do, but there have been people who have been saying, we've lost race meetings.
Yeah.
We haven't.
I think there was just the talk that if we're in lockdown next week, it's a good opportunity when people have nothing else to do than to have a punt on the races. That's the only point I was making, which you couldn't foresee.
And it's a good point. It's a good point. And also the unforeseen impact of COVID, of course, is that we are in lockdown right around Australia. Yeah.
Just a couple of quick ones just on this, because I'm sure you will review it and there could be different things that are changed for next season. Trials, a lot of trainers are saying we're on the cusp of the spring carnival. Our horses are coming back in. It's not the perfect time to take a week off when we want to get our horses ready. And also being the last week of Vobis, is that also an issue as well?
Well, I think I addressed Vobis. There's been no less races programmed. So all the Vobis bonuses that were available every year are available this year as well. With the trials, it's interesting. I think it's more important, possibly jump outs. I don't know that there would have been trials programmed this week. Last year, with COVID, we went months without trials, but there has been good feedback around jump outs. So if we were to proceed next year with the trial, which we may well do, either at a different time or a different format, then jump outs would be something that we would look at, no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, look, you're never going to please anyone. We know that in this industry. So it is interesting, the feedback, whether a different time is during the year is more appealing to the industry participants. But on one hand, they say we have too much racing, we need time off. And then if we have a week off, there's consternation and complaining that we don't want to have a week off. So it's a rock and a hard place.
There's lots of different threads to this, Michael. As you say, people always say the grind of races every day is it's been really interesting the last few days. There's been feedback from a couple of leading trainers. I can't remember now if I read it or it was conveyed directly to us that the idea of time off is good, but it's not long enough. It should be more than a week, which is interesting. The concept that everyone's scrambling for runs. One of the ongoing issues in Victoria is what's the value of the start? We get so many scratchings. Warwick Nabil on Sunday, we had 45 scratchings and no horse missed out from a run. Casterton on Monday, we had 30 scratchings. Sandown today, we've got 29 scratchings and only one horse missing out on a run. So even though people are saying they're deprived of opportunities, different reasons and different circumstances, and that's not easy preparing a horse and going forward. People are still willing to scratch and not run, even though they've got the program in front of them. They've had it for 3 months. They know there's no racing next week, but still happy to scratch and wait for another day. So I feel for the people who can't find a race right at the moment. There's a really strong program of racing when we get up and running, starting with the synthetic meeting next Saturday in Mooney Valley, and going beyond that, we've got the Grand National Hurdle at Sandown and other meetings, a really good suite of meetings that first couple of weeks back. So I hope everyone finds a racing opportunity. And the other discussion, of course, has been around the fact that, and Michael Kent Breyer said that the two meetings at Mildura this week has made it complicated. So I acknowledge that. In fact, Mick's been one of the leading advocates for a break at the end of the season, time off from one season to the next. So I'm glad that he gave some sensible commentary with you this morning. But just to Mildura, there's no race club in Australia or Victoria that's done it tougher than Mildura. They didn't race at all last year through COVID. They've got their cup meeting on Friday. They're racing again on Saturday. Really disappointing for them a week out. Everything was going well, and because of COVID, they're now going to race again without crowd. So to Jarrett Farley and all the team up at Mildura, you've been great citizens for the racing industry here in Victoria. We hope the racing goes well Friday and Saturday. And I, for one, and hopefully thousands of others, will be back up there next year when there are crowds. Are able to go to Mildura.
Absolutely. Just one quick one on a different topic. We are pressed for time. We'll discuss more of this next week, but you're on the Patent Committee. Your reaction with New South Wales, new race, the $2 million invitation and increasing prize money for other races such as the Hill on Turnbull Stakes Day, is it going to have a detrimental impact?
Well, can I say, firstly, I was on the Patent Committee for a long time, Michael, longer than anyone else, probably, both in West Australia and Victoria. I had not been on the Patent Committee for a number of years. When it was last operating, there were only three people on the Patent Committee. As far as I understand, the Patent Committee has not met for quite some time. As far as the Invitational, it's a $2 million race, so there will be a good field of mares when it's run. But the Group 1 value of a race like the Empire Rose Stakes is of extreme value to owners and breeders for the future value of their mares. As I said, no doubt there'll be 12 very well-credentialed runners at the Invitational, but I'm very confident the Empire Rose, and already having a lot of queries and interest around horses coming to the Melbourne Spring for races like that, I think the Empire Rose will be an outstanding renewal. Again, this year, as it has for a number of years now, with horses like Melody Bell for one, when she was over here, only Group 1 went Australia, targeting that Australian Group 1 status.
Has the patent become obsolete?
Well, the concept of the patent has not become obsolete. It's about the best horses coming together for the grand final races. As we have seen with the proliferation of races in Europe, and they are group races, the more that you have, the less opportunity that there is for people to come together because they dodge each other. So high state races that are introduced, no doubt, will dilute to some extent. the pattern races, but the Victorian Spring Carnival, we announced significant prize money increases just a couple of months ago for the spring. It is the place to be for Australian racing during that period. We'll continue to be. We have got the flagship races that will continue to make the Victorian Spring Carnival the preeminent carnival in Australian racing, and certainly in the Southern Hemisphere, and one of the best carnivals in the world.
Greg, appreciate your time this morning.
It's a pleasure, Michael. I hope everyone stays safe through COVID. Those not going to the races next week, enjoy the time off, and we'll be a big racing season. And remember, significant increases in prize money kick in from the 1st of August here in Victoria, more than an additional $16 million in prize money. So never been a better time to race than in Victoria than there is right now.
Absolutely. Greg Carpenter joining us there.